try the roll call again. Steve? Yes, right? Peter? Michael? Michael Gruninger? Yeah, oh, he's there. Fabian?
I'm here.
Anthony?
Yes.
Okay, great. So, Steve, when did you say you have to leave?
I have to leave at 9, basically 50 minutes from now, 50 minutes.
50, so you better chair because Anthony and Michael will have to leave in like 20 minutes. This is 23 minutes. So let's get started.
Get started?
Yeah.
I'm Andy here.
Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Amanda.
Hi.
Well, hey, that's the first thing on the agenda is the postmortem on the requirements panel. I thought it went really well, and I really want to appreciate you, Amanda, putting all that work into it.
Oh, thanks.
What was your impression of it? How do you think it went?
I thought it went really well as well. And I got some private comments afterwards that none of them was angry, but just in the right way. But the others were basically two saying they were really happy to hear what they've been thinking articulated in a clear way, and two were saying, aha, one way or another, that they suddenly saw what was, they finally understood what was not working around them.
I personally really appreciated some of the illuminating comments on what is needed more than just modeling expertise.
Yeah.
And that was very helpful. And John Sella's very concrete things like his little test of logic.
Yeah.
Stood out in my head, but.
I had to bite my tongue on that one, having been through it. Like, the characterization, of course, is simplified. But, yes, I know it was really valuable. And I was like, okay, shut up. This is not the time to describe it in more detail. But
any lessons learned we think we can carry over to other panels or the face-to-face?
I would say, one lesson is just that... I thought this, but it proved it beyond my hopes even, that the bridge between the sort of that academic theoretical, view of what the field is and the applied, enterprise or industrial view, the gap between those can be bridged. And that it's not that no one knows what's needed. It's just that we haven't had the right kind of information sharing to get them together.
Yeah, I was curious, actually, Michael, do you have any thoughts on any additional modules that you think might be called for, since you're worrying about the content part, given this last panel?
Well, I think the major, I guess some of these issues will be, kind of discussed at Fabian's panel, in the sense of augmenting a, admitted computer science bias from Leo and I, to kind of include, more of the, as people are saying, the human side, but also just maybe some of the more practically driven side. Very often, you can take any kind of, say, course in a university, and there's often... two ways that it's given. Like, one course will be on the more theoretical side, and another one will be on the more applied side. Like, I remember first year calculus was like that. So I think there's room for incorporating a lot of the points that were raised at the last panel to maybe make some of those difference in terms of maybe streams. There could be this more theoretical stream, which is oriented towards people who want to continue on to do research, versus a more applied stream, which is where people are actually, you want to apply this immediately. So to speak.
May I say something to that? Because Barry and I have been thinking about it over the weekend. And first of all, we tried to match up skills that were mentioned with the content that was proposed. And coming in. There were a lot of skills which wasn't really, I mean, which were mentioned as important, which was not, which is not necessarily knowledge in the sense of, it is more knowing how to do something than knowing that something is the case. So you have this distinction, and of course, our course should teach both. You need to know some things, like, you know, basic things about automatic groups, on-logic groups, about tools that are available and all of that, but you know, you need to have the skills and know how to apply them successfully. And so we have tried to find, actually the bigger part of the stuff that we're going to present is going to be trying to summarize the results the previous sessions and trying to get a mix between them and then suggest and more or less an example for how this could be taught for the 36 credit master program.
Yeah, so I think this Thursday's panel will be, like you said, probably this kind of a synthesis of the previous two panels. I think it's perfectly quite, so to speak.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm going to make a pass, I think, at pulling out my take on what maybe some of that content is. I partially agree with the way you characterized it, and I also think there's also knowledge from other fields. Yes.
Well, there is a second dimension to mentioned there. I think we need to be clear that there are at least two kinds of ontologists. There are the ontologists which are computer science driven ontologists. There are domain specific ontologists. If you want to be work in the biomedical field as ontologist, it's essential that you know a lot of about the field, and that includes also ontology-specific problems in that area. So it's not only just know biology, but also some of the ontology questions and some of the methods are important for that area. Same probably applies to, you know, supply chains or whatever the domain you can come up with. But then there are people who just don't want to work on a specific domain, but rather specialists on integrating ontologies into computer systems. People who do that need a much better foundation in that part. So they need to understand a lot about reasoners, how they work in detail. So somebody who's a domain-specific ontologist might just want to use the reasoner, but not necessarily build one. So I think this is the other dimension that we, so the knowledge, we need to make sure that both of the areas, both have it.
In
the interest of time, since a couple of people will disappear in less than 15 minutes, Amanda, would you be kind enough, I mean, you said you were going to pull together some of these thoughts to put it on to the Ontology Summit list, and then, of course, part of it that can be summed up and put on to your synthesis page, but put it on the mailing list so that at least it's not so quiet there. And then you might start generating some conversation, too.
Okay. In that case, let's move on, segue there to Fabian, I guess. How are we standing for the quality panel coming up?
Well, we have four people who are going to be... We have fallen Leo and Michael's lead on this, so we will do the... Barry and I will present from it, which I just have to write it up and put it on the week. But we have it already, and then we will have four panelists.
If you refresh your page, the four panelists' names are there. Yeah.
Okay. Well, and then the and then we will have an open discussion. I think that's the way you plan it.
Okay, so things look like they're under control in terms of everything's lining up okay.
Yep, looks that way. Thanks, Fabian.
Okay. All right, let's zip on through this agenda then, since we've got time issues. Where are we on the survey? Where do we stand? So who's on? Is Anthony on this time?
Yeah, Anthony is on.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I mean, I haven't got much to report at the moment. The survey is open, and I know that people have been doing it. I don't know what the picture is yet. Arturo and I have sort of have scheduled a meeting for a couple of weeks' time where we're going to, you know, go over the results. And I think the interesting thing is how we then relate it to the or all the stuff that has been being discussed in the requirements and quality and content areas, because, you know, I mean, obviously the point of doing the survey is to see what's already there so that we're not necessarily reinventing the wheel and that sort of thing. So at the moment we're sort of just waiting to see what we get.
Okay. All right. And that, when is the deadline for that survey?
I think the survey closes on the, if I remember, it's the 15th. I can't remember.
Yeah, the announced date is the 15th. Amanda and I talked about, I mean, announcing 15th, but actually deep down inside we know closer to the 15th we are going to extend that for a week. So a question for Anthony. Would you want to extend yours or would you want to close by the 15th? This is the last chance to talk about it, yeah. Because the next time we meet it will be after the 15th, yeah.
That's right, yes. Probably I don't know what the volume of response is at the moment, as to whether we need to, but given that Arturo and I are not able to actually meet to discuss this until the 23rd, I think it is. That's when we fixed a time to talk about it. There'd be no harm in extending it, I would guess.
Okay, so I will take it that we will all extend, and I'll just pass myself closer to the time, maybe on the 13th or the 14th. I'll send out one note and say we'll extend it by one more week and give everyone another prompt to respond.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And Fabian, any comments on the second survey?
Amanda, mainly.
Oh, I'm more.
Oh, Amanda's there. That's rough as that. Amanda, you have.
Yeah, I haven't actually looked to see what. I've been pretty occupied with the snow, so. But I haven't actually looked to see what's happening, whether it had much action or what people are doing.
Okay, and Peter, is that probably the same with the Delphi?
No, let's see. Fabian, do you have comments on the second survey? Sorry about just now.
No.
Okay, I just looked at the collected information right before this call, and so far 19 people have responded. Looks like, I mean, they're pretty good, and this is on the survey two. And then on the real-time Delphi, there are only about, I mean, there are 10 respondents, but mainly 8 are serious ones. And we probably want more people in that discussion, because unlike a survey, that RT Delphi actually you can almost look at it as structured mailing list and discussion platform, whereby you have one box to discuss one very narrowly constrained subject, and then there are 16 of those. So, and the people who have responded so far are not quite the mainstream people. So I really want ourselves, particularly I was hoping that Cola is here so that he can, but Anthony is here too, he can make a plea to the IAOA contingent, and we definitely want all our organizing committee members, and then I'm looking to Steve or Barry to maybe make a pitch to the advisory committee so that we can actually get the right people, the right experts to comment. Otherwise, and I'll put an example. I mean, we have Kendall Brock, I mean, come in and say, you guys are totally academic. It doesn't need a department. It just needs to be a course taught in computer science. And if nobody else comments, then 100% of our respondents believes that this is not, that this only needs to be a course in the computer science department, and that will be sad. Right, maybe because at the end of the day, the analysis will come out that way. So,
well, we'll have to caucus then on if you want some targeted encouragement, who we should be targeting.
Right, I think the target will be the advisory committee because all the organizing committee people are there, all the IAOA executive council members are there, but someone should, I mean, I specifically put together and put together a mailing list for those people so they could be addressed with one email address.
I did see that, and I will strive to get to that on my list of things to do.
Right. But before that, even before that, we need to get everyone on that list because about one-third of our invitees have not responded. Either because they have, we had a couple of, two or three people who said they don't want to be. I mean, and that is considered responded. But a few people, about a third of our invitees actually have not responded. Either they just didn't care, I mean, like people like Tim Berners-Lee, you know, we've been doing this repeatedly this year after year after year, and he just never responds. Jim Handler, or the original invitation might have been caught in their spam filter. We don't know.
Yeah.
So we need to ping them again, update that list, and then sort of do our pitch. I mean, all happening within the next day or two, hopefully.
Well, we'll see. It's,
Yeah, because that is the one single list that we really want, I mean, to respond. I mean, if we want real people who understand what they're talking about to respond to these surveys.
I will see what I can do.
Thank you. So do you take it on yourself to write to that list to ask them to respond to the three surveys as well?
Well, my trouble is I'm out of my own office all day tomorrow and Thursday, so it's a bit of a challenge. I will see if I can take a look at that this afternoon.
Have Barry do it or something.
Yeah.
If
I'm not successful by the end of the day today, maybe I'll shoot you an email, Peter, and tell you where I stand on that.
All right.
Okay, and closely related to that is the issue of the rosters and fleshing out the invitations to the advisory committee. I know this is on the agenda. I need to send out my second round of prompting, which Peter has spoken to me about, which I haven't yet done. And I guess corollary of that is, do we need to do a little bit of shifting of people who might be on the organizing committee but maybe might be better serving our needs on the advisory committee. Do you want to say anything about that, Peter? Or?
Yes, I told myself if Ross Hodgson is not showing up at this call, I will move that we invite him to stay only on the the advisory committee rather than being listed as an organizing committee member, because that's not fair to people who are actually putting in real time an effort to organize the summit.
Yeah, I would support that. I think I don't even think Ralph would pose such a thing, since I think he would be the first to admit he's not been able to put in the amount of time that we were hoping he would. So we just sort of take that as an assumption that's going to happen then, if Ralph doesn't pop into view here during the
call. Within the next 3 minutes or so, right. So, I mean, someone will have to tell him. And would that be you?
I can take, that would be me. All right. I'm writing these things down. Bear with me for a moment.
I'm afraid I have to go now. It's Anthony here.
Oh. Thank you, Anthony.
All right. Thanks for coming.
Bye.
Bye, Anthony. Bye.
All right. Let's see, where are we? Status of view, online discussion, and synthesis. Oh, yeah. What about the synthesis? That's a very good question. Anthony got away just in the nick of time.
What do you mean by the synthesis?
See if we could have sort of a wiki page that was sort of collecting the collective wisdom of what was going on in the email discussions. You think?
Is there? I didn't pay attention in the last days, but I haven't seen much email traffic. Is that correct, or did I miss something?
There's zero email traffic.
Okay.
Practically, I mean, I think the champions should try to sort of instigate some, and there's enough to talk about, because I mean, even if you just summarize some of the salient points from the panel session, that would create a lot of discussion. But the synthesis page, if I understand correctly, is also the sort of drafting page for the section of the communique eventually. Would that be a good assumption, Steve?
I think that's right. And in fact, rather than us all rushing around at the 11th hour during the face-to-face trying to put this material together, it would make our own lives easier if we could get some of that stuff down now to the best of our understanding. And that can be seen as a straw man for people to then react to. And I could be putting out calls to people, take a look at these pages, because, here's what we're going to be agreeing to. And then people can maybe start reacting to that. So, that would probably be a good idea if you could find the time just to, put on those pages, the draft communicate pages, what you believe are the content. I know, Michael, you have this material because you've already presented some of the modules of the curriculum, you think, for example.
That is true, yes.
And Fabian, you've been having your discussions with Barry about what you believe are the skills.
I'm going to put, and just because I want my panelists to have a look at it, I'm going to be forced to put it somewhere anyhow. I'm going to use the synthesis page for this ramen that may be a little bit not really the original intent of the page, but since it's not going to be a synthesis of the discussion of other people, it's just very me and this, or rather summarize of previous things which, from the other panels. So I'm going to use that page for that.
Okay, so wait a sec though. Are we supposed to? So Peter, you said there's the pages that are supposed to be the subsections of the communique. Now, does that mean that, I kind of thought that there'd be like a content page, and other pages, the synthesis page would be something separate. Are you saying that we should put everything onto the synthesis page?
All those pages are actually just scratch pads. So use it in whatever way you like. But eventually, we will have to synthesize all the tracks into the communique, and there's a communique draft page.
Okay.
And presumably before they move over to the communique draft page, maybe there will be one section on the synthesis page that is saying, I mean, this is the rough draft for the section corresponding section of the communique, and you draft it out on that synthesis page first, or I will. I mean, draft it out on the synthesis page first, and then when it's time to move something over to the communique draft, maybe I'll just move that one section.
Okay. So I'll put our early material in up on that page now.
Right, right.
And then after Thursday's, I think there'll be a lot of discussion arising from there, and then that can, maybe we can use that as a way of getting the discussion going more quickly.
Good.
I'll have to leave now.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, Michael.
But yeah, I'll make sure I get that up on that.
Thank you.
Just on the old panel page.
Mm. Okay. And similarly, Amanda, if you could perhaps, in the course of your sort of cogitating over the last week's panel, maybe jot down your thoughts. That would be helpful. So we'll have I think, in general, the larger audience will have a lot easier time responding and commenting on material they see, rather than just trying to speak out in the abstract. So I think this will help provoke some discussions as well. Okay, the March 15th, 16th face-to-face logistics and planning. The good news there is that I was able to work in this system so that we do have a room now for... Oh, I'm sorry, mixing world. Yeah, never mind. Scratch all that. March 15th and 16th. Yeah, we always had a room. Registration, I need to get back to NIST because they never responded to my query about setting up a registration space. Even though that's what we had last year. So,
but you did say that we will set it up and then just maybe a week before send them the entire list. You remember?
Well, that was what they bounced back to me, but then I went and checked, and we actually did have, NIST had set up a registration page last year because it already had the nice thing where it asked if you're a U.S. citizen or not, which needs different set of information. So I was going to actually contact Mark Carlisle because I wasn't getting feedback from Simon, and just say, Mark, can't you just flip a switch and make this into a, you know, clone it? Turn it into a 2010 registration page. So let me ask them that, because that would be easier, obviously, because then they're getting all the information they need. It does mean we have to keep pinging them to get readouts of who has registered. But unless you think it's preferable to do it the other way,
I mean, I would much rather NIST do it. I mean, because I mean, we are not quite in a position to ask people for the passport numbers and so on. And
exactly.
And
so
we don't have that need. We don't
out,
have
though.
The need.
Yeah. Right. Now add that to my little list here, my infinite list of things to do. Here.
Okay. could you? I mean, actually, Mark Carlisle and Simon Frechette promised us that we will do occasional conference calls. We haven't done one for months, so maybe it's about time to start one.
Well, on this thing, I'm just going to do a quick direct call to Mark.
Yeah, and also mention that maybe it's time to do one more call to pick up loose ends. Like, I mean, things like we want two projectors and very
right,
small things.
Right. All right. I will... Okay. All right, so that's that. I had committed to putting out an announcement to the broader audience on the hotel and logistics information. Basically, apparently NIST has not reserved any block of rooms. I went and checked, and, you know, the room seemed to be around $150, I think it was, a night. He gave me three hotels he recommended, the Hilton, the Wyndham Gardens, and the Holiday Inn. So I think we'll just, in the announcement, mention those hotel names. there are always a variety of, you know, AAA or whatever, you know, discounts for different people. But there's not any specific. The government rate, apparently, Bill Simon told me, is usually no better than the rates that people can often get anyway, not to mention corporate rates. So that's the situation in the hotels. There's no particular thing set up on the hotels. Let's see, what else? The agenda. If you look on today's agenda, there's a link to the Ontology Summit 2010 Symposium page upon which you can see the draft agenda that Barry and I have worked up. I invite you to take a look at that for the 15th and the 16th face-to-face. Basically, the design intent behind it was to be done with sort of capturing what we've accumulated so far by lunchtime the first day, and then start in on discussions, because I want to avoid this being a sort of a symposium with people listening to lectures all 2 days. The whole point of us coming together is to have discussion. So we'll start discussion right after lunch on the first day, and just touch on at the end of that first day what the first version, if you like, of the communique looks like. And Michael already left, but I had already penciled him in as maybe chairing that particular session. Just to say, here's what we think, go read it, think about it. We can have some initial reaction, not at the wordsmithing level, but rather at the sort of the content level of the communique. Then the second day, we'll have more discussions with people who have had an evening to think about things in each of the three areas, the requirements, the certification, or quality, and the recommendations, of course, the P's. That's not really the P's. That's very putting that last iteration of changes here. And then in the afternoon, the second day, is where we nail down the final version of the communique, hopefully avoiding wordsmithing. We'll hope to do as much of this sidebar without, you know, while discussions are going on. Maybe a small number of one or two people can be hammering out the final edit of the communique. And I wanted to adjourn reasonably early for those people who are trying to catch planes that evening. They'll still be able to do so. So that's the face-to-face agenda. Comments are solicited, either now or by email.
I have two comments.
Go for it.
Yeah. One is... do we, or are we going to, last week when we discussed, and everyone has come to consensus, there has been a consensus every year, that we should have the communique drafted and tossed out the comments, like, at least a week before the face-to-face. And if so, are we, can we sort of really task someone with it, I mean, someone who can put serious time into making that happen a week before.
Yeah, we've tried to do that in past years, but we never really seem to pull it off.
Right, exactly.
So, unless we have someone who is willing to put time into that, I'm open to it, but we've never succeeded in doing that before.
Wait a minute. I have a question. So, what is the alternative? If we don't do it, have it in time, there's on the agenda now recommendations for first draft of communique. That sounds as if we would write the communique during the 2 days.
Right. I don't think, yeah, that's exactly my point. I don't think that this is in order. I think it would be review a draft of communique.
Reaction.
Yeah.
First draft. Yeah.
Yeah, reaction.
I agree. Yeah.
Do you want to change that now?
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me edit that one.
I'm not editing that page. Yeah, it's your page.
I was under the impression of last week that, well, maybe I was wrong, but I already made the point last week that I think it's a fatal idea to have large group and the whole group making recommendations for anything, because I think that is not a way, we won't be able to steer the discussion well in that setting. And you will have the Ravis and Paolos of this world just waste everybody's time. So that's why I suggested that we have breakout sessions, which will still have, some of them will suffer from the problem that there will be people there which try to waste everybody's time. But in a breakout session, you will have one person, in the smaller group, it's just easier to handle for the person who's leading a breakout session. And in addition, if one breakout session doesn't deliver anything useful, you have at least the rest of the breakout sessions delivering something useful. So,
wow.
That's why I was strongly recommending not to have this you know, big group commenting on something.
It's so important to get that community
in a room.
Feedback and the sense of participation, like you.
Well, that's right. I certainly agree with Amanda. Perhaps we can meet your concerns, Robin, by rather than actually formally calling a breakout session, which tends to sort of destroy the sort of the community coming together feeling, what we might do is just sort of have a little subgroup, if you like, which we can orchestrate ahead of time, of maybe three people or something, just to pull off to the side or corner of the room, or maybe even go to another room, but don't call it a breakout session. That's a sort of little editing team, if you like, who can focus on bringing in. So there can be a discussion going on that first afternoon, the reactions to the communique. People can be making comments. Maybe what we can do is post one person to be capturing those comments, and then this little sidebar team can be incorporating as their best judgment allows them those comments that make sense and sort of really focusing on not so much discussions but actually editing and polishing so that we can be doing that in parallel but still have the same feeling of one meeting, one plenary kind of community in the main room.
But, I mean, why do maybe it's just a personal taste thing, but I don't think that, I mean, if you have breakout sessions, that this destroys the feeling of community. And I actually think it allows more people to give positive input because you have not only one person speaking at the time, but rather, you know, you have small groups which create something useful, which will then be hopefully be part of the community. I think that can
be true, Fabian, but it's also true that it's very easy to get put into a place where most people will feel that a small group of people are writing this and so the other voices are not valued. And, I mean, I don't think it's, you know, I think about my progressional participation from invisible to vocal in the summit. And it's hard for me to imagine what would have happened if there hadn't been an open session, but things are coming up that I had directly relevant things to say. And also there's always some people on the committee that other people think, you know, some of the other participants will think, oh, those people just had it all wrong. And if their view isn't, if there isn't large group sort of participation or a chance to verbalize or share with the whole group a very different viewpoint, those folks are just going to walk away.
They will have the opportunity to comment on the whole proposal on the email list before the session itself. And of course, they will have actually had communicated based on the results of the discussions that happened beforehand. They already had an opportunity to participate in them. And I still don't understand why you wouldn't be able to, I mean, even if there's something which they think that is wrong and they didn't have taken the opportunity to speak up yet, they will still have an opportunity to talk during the breakout session. I mean, I'm just trying to find a forum of having not much input, but input in a way so that it is, you don't have a situation where the group is dominated by people who create noise. It's not that I want
to address that. I agree with that. I agree with that, and I understand the balance that you're trying to find. I just think, you know, we might want to think more about, you know, things like targeted topics facilitation or other ways that you can actually, think, you know, have a constructive, large group conversation aside from just not allowing people to talk to the whole group.
The problem is also that I see when, with the suggestion of having a three-group editing, a parallel editing team, which will then basically have to decide which comments are valuable and which aren't. I mean, that's what the role would have to be. In that case, you really have an elite team of three people, which basically make the decision. So there wouldn't be, I mean, at least I would think that that's worse in a way, because that way you know, people would have no impact on the text itself. It would just be, it would just comment.
There have to be chosen people who are quite objective, who don't have an agenda, I'd say, who would be the ones after making the decision at some point. So,
people, for example, trained knowledge management people.
right. Basically, I think we have to have both. We have to have a discussion. I think as soon as you, again, I guess this is my personal bias. As soon as you have breakouts, then there's discussion going on that, say, half the room or two-thirds of the room, depending on how many breakouts you have, aren't going to be hearing. And the advantage of having essentially one plenary is everyone at least hears all the points.
Okay. Can we find a compromise of just using, I mean, not all of the time for general discussions? I mean, the way I understand the schedule right now, it works like the second half of the first day is discussion, global discussion, and basically the whole second day is global discussion. That
right.
Can we find a medium there? Does he take some time for global discussion, some for breakout sessions?
What topic would you have there be as the subject of the breakout?
Well,
I suggest they come from the general, the first portion. What do you think of that?
Something we can't anticipate now. You're saying that as a result of the discussion, say, the first afternoon, there will be certain hot areas that need more depth of discussion, and that perhaps we would have, the beginning of the second day be launched right into the breakout?
I would suggest that. I would also say that you may know going in there are a few points of disagreement that to resolve or find a new sort of, we're not thinking of a solution, to this, and some other minds on it would be good. But that is also, those, if there are a couple of those also might be, focused breakouts. You can explain what the issues are and say, anybody who wants to, try and have a breakthrough on that or have ideas. You can work on this. But I would also suggest that some of the general discussion can be facilitated and focused on topic but not by somebody who has a dog in the fight. I think that's a mistake that's been made before at Summit.
Alright, so what's the
case
of the group then? Do you want to?
Can I express my opinion also before you summarize? Okay, first of all, I too agree that it would be plenary. I mean, I go to conferences and the best ones are if everybody stays together. I really don't think breakout groups or multiple tracks are actually as good as planetary ones. And I'm actually even not too worried about wordsmithing as long as it doesn't take up like entire day. I mean, if we spend 1 hour on wordsmithing, it just builds community. I mean, there's magic in people participating in wordsmithing and feeling that they own part of the document because they changed the word is to are and it was a typo or something. I mean, I don't think it's all bad.
I don't think that many people share that view. I certainly found it very painful, and I wasn't alone.
Okay. It gets painful when it gets too long. I mean, I totally agree. The second thing is, I mean, I share the pain of people making noise and irrelevant comments, but I think it's the chair's duty to sort of manage that. And we don't sort of mitigate it by sort of breaking up the group. You might still end up in a group with Ravi. And he wants to talk about XDRL.
Let me say something, and I'm going to say something very brilliant here, although I'm not going to name names. One case within the last couple of summits. So we had the request.
Yes.
And there was an extremely important breakout subject that was really contentious and really there was a lot of fractioning, and everyone that I knew in that room who had roughly the kind of view that I had on this subject would not go to the breakout because if the one of the committee members had a very strong view on the other side, and we were all convinced it would be nothing but him beating everyone down and wouldn't get anywhere. And I was the only person with the dissenting view who went to that breakout because I didn't really care if, you know, being trained in a somewhat adversarial field, though I don't like it all the time, I could have that conversation and not feel run over. Well, I just have no sense of my own safety. I don't know. I'm the head on the chopping block person. But in any case, people were saying, wow, you're going to that? Wow, I really admire that and good luck to you. And I think it did actually have an effect. We had a constructive engagement. And I think that the outcome was fairly balanced. But it took, you know, there was a substantial chunk of the community that felt that this part portion of the communique subject was dominated by a member of the committee with a very strong view who did not listen to them. They did not think that there was any point in going to a breakout on it. That's one of the reasons, and there's not always going to be somebody, you know, to recklessly disagree with recognized authorities.
But didn't you just say they were wrong? Because whoever it was heard of listened to you and the outcome was good?
Yes, but it took somebody, it's not the case that everybody with a well, in that every view that needs to be heard to balance out the thing has a proponent who is willing to go, head to head for 30 minutes with somebody who's far more recognized in the field and really disrespectful in the way you know, obviously, it's just not the first time I've been the only one on some side willing to do that, and luckily I don't usually get fired when that happens, but it's really, I don't want to lose valuable insights and areas of the community because the, you know, of the visible people who are talking in the public space, we've restricted that to, you know, just a slight expansion of the committee, and that view isn't there, and the opposing one is there very loudly.
Let me slip in my last comment. So I also disagree about having the few people as a breakout, I mean, leaving the plenary to wordsmith on the communique, because I don't think it's fair to them, and two, it's not fair to the entire meeting. I would much rather, I mean, we do a lot better preparation work so that the drafts are already there, and then I suggest, a concrete suggestion is to make the Tuesday lunch like 1.5 hours at least, so that, I mean, people have more time to network, and then the two or three people, whoever the editors, could actually have time to clean the whole thing up. I think it would be to the advantage of both. So the editors should sit in all the discussions, and so that, I mean, and we have to rely on them to really capture the salient points in. I mean, but supposedly, I mean, those are actually only the fine points then, because we should have all the discussions way beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're suggesting a long lunch on Tuesday, is that correct?
Longer. Not really long. I mean, 1.5 hours. Let's say 12:30 to 2, or 12 to 1:30. Either way.
Okay.
Why don't we do this?
I have a suggestion.
Okay, go ahead.
I have a suggestion. I give up the idea, since nobody likes breakout sessions. I give up the idea. I want then the fourth requirement. Nobody is allowed to raise a new subject unless he already brought up the subject or initiated a similar discussion
on the mailing list,
towards the face-to-face meeting on the panel. So I don't want somebody coming in having never read the communique, have not participated in anything, and then start, I don't like this kind of discussion. So that of course requires on our hand that we have the drafts in place in a sufficient time frame. But then the rule should be that the people who that we have constraints on the that we discussed in the panel session, the topics that were raised in on the email list beforehand, and we allow a certain amount of time for topics, depending on how many open topics there are, and we enforce that time limit. And no additional stuff.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's an interesting idea, especially the time limit idea.
Right, the time limit is
important. Everyone at the late point, they have, you know, 10 minutes or something like that.
No, 2 minutes.
2 minutes, okay, whatever. But it's an interesting, it's a kind of a controversial but interesting idea you raised about the no new critiques allowed if you haven't raised it beforehand, which I suppose with sufficient publicity beforehand, we could pull that off. I'd hate to have a valid point not be discussed for that, you know, parliamentarian reason, but...
Yeah, point versus topic might be a distinction. You have to raise it. You have to include it. But I think there's something, there might be something workable there.
Yeah, maybe every new point should have someone to second the discussion.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, if someone brings up, I mean, let's discuss, why aren't we talking about XBRL? Then maybe XBRL nobody wants to second that discussion.
But this is not something that needs to be then done in public, but rather we will have somebody who leads the discussion or a team who leads the discussion, and they have the agenda points.
Right.
And if somebody... If somebody brings that an additional point, then the answer would be, well, either the group who organizes it will have to make the decision, or maybe if you want to have it more democratic, the person needs to come with another person so that at least two supporters. I don't know how to organize it. I would really like to have a more, you know, and then also block of time. Right now it's just, you know, it's called we discuss this, but rather a list of discussion points beforehand, so that we know that what the valid points are, and we know how much time we then have for each point to be addressed.
Okay, why don't I do this? I have to run, but if you would be willing to just send suggestion by email to the list,
okay.
I'm open to modify, and I can't do it in the next day or two, but I will respond to the email that. I'm open to, I'm very sensitive to your concern, and I completely agree with your concern, is we don't want to have runaway, digressing conversations monopolized by various people. So, I think we're all striving for some kind of a structured approach, on track, on focus, and able to produce something, you know, useful at the end. So now we're just sort of casting around different models of how can we best do that while retaining the sort of the input that we want, but not the digression. So, if I can ask you to just jot down a suggested, it doesn't have to be complete or anything, but just any ideas you have.
Yeah.
And I'll put some thought into sort of the latter part of this week or something like that, and be looking out for more reaction then. How's that?
Okay, we'll do.
Okay, and anyone else, of course, Amanda, Peter, whatever, if you have thoughts on how we could, particularly I think the second day is still quite fluid. We can put more structure into that one. We have wiggle room there. Okay? Sorry I've got to run, but I think we pretty much hit it. Let's see. Think about the time. The only thing we didn't really talk about is Barry was urging we go ahead and name an editor for the communique. And that would be good. We have to take taping that thing, since we are only a month out of the face-to-face at this point, maybe some months. Anyone want to volunteer to take a crack at starting to shape that communique?
Can I suggest we name the editors, and then are you doing exactly the same thing? I mean, asking for volunteer editors?
The forces of the communique could be made of the champions of the tech community.
Right. So I assume the track champions will be co-editors, but then we probably want to name one or two, like, chief editor or lead editors, if we,
yeah.
I mean, similar to what we've done before.
Makes sense. So the track champion can go ahead and provide input, if you like, of sections of the communique.
Can I suggest this? I mean, would you talk to Barry whether the two of you would be kind enough to be lead editors? And if so, then, I mean, you two can be lead editors and all the track champions could be co-editors.
Well, let me talk to Barry, because I'm trying very hard not to add to my overcommitted state where I find myself in right now. I'm dropping things right and left at this point, so it would be very easy for me to say yes, but then I'm just going to drop more things. So let me talk to Barry and see if he'd be willing to be the lead editor, taking input from all the different components. And I can guilt him into it, maybe, because I've been doing more of the logistics part of this thing, and he can now jump in at the latter half. But I'll take that action.
So do you want one lead editor, or are you aiming for two?
I'm aiming for one. Only because I am trying to get smarter at realizing the implications of my saying yes at various things, which are very implications usually. So, I'm open to more than one, but I don't think it's going to be me.
Okay.
Okay, I do have to run, because I've got another meeting I've got to run to. So we got to at least touched on everything on this agenda today. you guys want to carry on, or you want to close it out?
We want to close it out, but I just wanted to let everyone know Elizabeth is online. So, Elizabeth, if you have one word.
Hello?
Breaking up.
Yes.
Since you announced me, can I please address the group?
Yes, please, but really quick.
I don't know how to do to remind everyone to access the real-time Delta and try to answer. So far, we got 7 people who asked it, but only 4 who provided answer to at least one question. So 4 participants so far. I don't know if you intend to announce it on the listserv again, or what can we do about it?
We will announce it on Thursday, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm going to be sending out some emails anyway for advisory committee membership, and in that announcement I'm going to exhort the advisory committee in particular to check in on those the real-time Delphi and the other studies and respond to those.
Thank you.
Oh, I expect to do that by the end of the week.
Thank you.
Great. Okay, that's it.
I'm
right?
Sorry, I have to run.
No, we have to run too. All right, bye.
Okay. Very good. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.